Instead of a sermon this morning, we're going to watch a couple of videos from our speaker yesterday, Ken. And the first one is a bit of a longer one. Well, it's about 5 minutes. And at the end, he's going to ask a question. And if we just discuss for maybe 5 or 10 minutes with the people around us in little groups, what we think of that question. So, Ant, if you could play the video. Right, Ant, could you put that paragraph up, please? Yeah, so just to remind us in our discussions, this was Ken's paragraph. When you have the message of hope for people, hope for now and forever, when you have so much in terms of people and space and money and values and unity, when your main ways are having great effect for some and little effect for many, when you don't have to drop all the main ways that have some effect to try new ways, when what matters is the original messenger rather than the cherished ways of conveying his message, when your aim is to find out what pleases God and go for it wholeheartedly, when it's okay to try things and fail sometimes and learn and move on, when he promises to come with us in power and guide us by his Spirit, when we hit on what it means to try things in his name, then what follows carries it with it responsibility, opportunity and adventure. And the question was, to what extent does Ken's paragraph resonate with you, with us? To what extent is this our story as a church? So maybe 5-10 minutes with the people around you, just sort of have a few discussions, and then we'll feed back in a little bit. So I'm sure many of you could carry on discussing those questions all afternoon, and please do, by the way, please do. But if you could draw your conversations to a close, perhaps if one person from each group wants to sort of feed back a little bit of what you were saying. Well, I'll start off, shall I? I didn't share this in the group, but when I was planning this service yesterday afternoon and into the evening, it was the second half of the paragraph from when what matters is the original messenger rather than the cherished ways of conveying his message. That sort of part onwards, that really resonated with me and sort of helped me form what we did earlier with the flip chart, and that it's that realization that some things are okay to carry on as they are, some things need to change, and some new things need to start up, and there's a responsibility with that. So that's what I got from there.
We've thought about the year text and what pleases God, finding out what pleases God.
Yep. That resonates. Yep, so if anyone didn't hear, that's linking it with the year text and finding out what pleases God. So don't worry about failure. If you're going to start something and it's going to fail, don't worry about that. Just go for it if you think that God's telling you to do it.
Yeah. Ken mentioned his wife said it to him about that. She said, in the world of scientific research, there's no such thing as failure. But it's just research that you just, even if it fails, still the research and you require you to be different.
Yeah.
It's not failure.
Yeah.
It's more valuable, yes, it's more valuable.
I remember lots of lectures in my university about that sort of thing. either of the two groups on this side.
We've got to be willing to embrace change and learn from failure and move forward and grow. We've got to be flexible. Some things never change, and we're following the example of Christ and prayer and the need for the Holy Spirit. But in his strength, we can do immeasurably more. we are called to the kingdom people in the here and now. And there's so much we can grow together in as a church and giftings and using our giftings and strength if we just pray, ask the Holy Spirit to move and learn from our mistakes and grow and be flexible about ways of doing things that stick to those timeless traditional ways of instruction.
Yeah, so that's basically pray, and then pray for God to release his spiritual giftings on us so that we can do all these things. Finally, the group at the very back. No, everyone's too shy. Okay, we'll move on. We're going to have a reading now. It's John 15, verses 1 to 17. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1083. I think I forgot to put it on the computer, so you might as well follow along in the good old traditional paper copies. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 17. So it's quite a famous passage, and we'll read it. So it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, whilst every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." You can tell I didn't read this beforehand. "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my Father's love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." So we're going to watch a second shorter video. And then after that, Chris is going to come up and share some feedback from what we were discussing yesterday.
So, we had a good day yesterday, and it's good to gather again this morning and share with a few that weren't there yesterday, and those of us that are there, to think about it a little bit more, and to think about it in our own context, to think about it as Burwell Baptist Church, rather than just, is it a good idea for the church out there, but is it part of what God's calling us to do? So we thought about the connection with our year text, and in the first part of what Ken was talking about, he spoke about whole life discipleship. And it says in our year text that we should live a life worthy of the Lord, not just put on services that are worthy of the Lord, but in the whole of our life be worshipping him. It also goes on to talk about bearing fruit in every good work, and that ties in very much with what Ken was saying about how we might actually measure what growth is, what fruit is, and then thinking about growing in the knowledge of God, that we need to know his will. We need to know what it is that he's asking us to do as a church at this time. So these are the questions that that Ken asked. First of all, that we would pray for ourselves. Where do I grow from here? What sort of things that might mean for you to grow in God? Do you think you've done all your growing in God? Have you still got some growing to do? And might that be intentional? Might there be things, some choices that you could make that will help you to grow in God? Where is here? Thinking about what the situation is in the church compared with the village, compared with the surrounding areas around us. Where is here? What is the nature of our culture, society around us? What do we mean by growth? Are we simply looking to fill this place with lots of people, or are we wanting people to come to know the Lord? Do we want to simply move them from other churches here, or just bring people in to fill the place when actually they're not being fed the truth? You know, we need to make sure we know what growth is. And where will we grow this year? Thinking about actually not just putting this off in the future, but what will we do this year to see growth? Well, we had groups yesterday, and they split up to discuss some questions like this. And we asked that one or two from those groups would come and share what was discussed. So this is an opportunity to do that. Who's going to go first? Barry, how about you going first?
First of all, because I was at away yesterday, at the away day, and I was very busy on Friday, I hadn't kept up to date with my daily readings, which I tried to do this morning, which I in fact did this morning. And this was my reading for Friday, which I think is so appropriate for what we've been doing over this weekend. It's based on Joshua 3, which you know, and we've done recently, is where the children of Israel are entering the promised land and crossing the River Jordan. It's headed up, time for a new direction. And this is what it says. The wanderers are being moulded into a people of God, and they have become a nation. They were not meant to wander in the wilderness. They were meant to take up their inheritance, but that took a walk of faith. Some journeys command obedience, the people being instructed to move out, leaving the known behind. They don't know where to go, not having been that way before. But God knows. He commands the ark, his presence, to be the marker to follow. When we walk by faith, we walk into that which we don't see or even know, but we trust God in the leading. And I think that's the point where we are at the moment. I did make some notes. And if those people that were there in that group want to add to what I have to say, fine. And if there's stuff that I've missed out, then please say. First thing I wrote down was, we must think in terms of things being done in a different way. It's just because we've always done something, it doesn't mean to say that we've got to continue doing that. Second thing is this, work for the Lord in all things, in all situations. So no matter what we're doing, do it for the Lord. Serve the Lord whether you want to be in that situation or not. So if you think that you've been told to do something that you don't want to do, do it anyway, but do it for the Lord. And this is something that has come up time and time again over the last few months, particularly since, I think probably, anyway, since the away day for the leadership. And it's meet people in their space and on their terms. I think something else that came up in the group that we were discussing was that we should be going out to people, meeting them where they are, not primarily anyway, trying to drag them into church. So in this, I think there are a lot of similarities with the teaching that's been brought to this church over the last few years. Is there anything that I've missed? Karen? No?
That was my cover from other groups.
Yes.
A different approach. Still note. When I'm faced with things like this, I have to start with the basics. What I think, you know, I like to look at the whole picture. The details come later. So this was more or less, this was my reaction to yesterday, just as a whole. Lots of flesh to be put on it afterwards, but there were three words, really, that stood out to me, which I was thinking about later on in the day. The first one was goodwill. Ken did mention goodwill, and I was thinking about it later, and I thought, when we are thinking about where we go from here, you know, what we do with this and take this forward, we do need to have goodwill. Now, I'm the first to admit I'm not always full of goodwill, but it's already been mentioned about doing the work for the Lord. That's who, if we think what we're going to do, that's who we're doing it for. I think that puts us in a totally different place, a totally different viewpoint. And one of the Bible readings we had at the beginning of the day was from Colossians 3. And there is a few lines in that which says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for the Lord. It is Christ you are serving. I think that gives me, anyway, a real pull-up to say, put away all the rubbish, have some, you know, the things that are irritating, you know, focus on what you feel you've been called to do, whether that's, and it's got to start with me, hasn't it? It's got to start with you, and then the church. I agree, I very much agree with that. And I think, so we've got to have so that was the first thing, really. Have goodwill, a good attitude, and I think that's not only got to be towards the people we're hoping to make contact with, but it's also got to be between ourselves, because you know, we don't always see eye to eye, and that's fine. We can discuss things and come to an agreement, but I think we need to support each other, because that does actually strengthen us. And I liked his analogy with the Shaker's furniture, where, you know, we've got to be honest, and we've got to let people see what is often hidden in us, and know ourselves too. The furniture bit was about, you know, that they were as careful, that the back of the drawers were made with as much care as the front, although they weren't seen very much. And I thought that was a very good analogy, really. The next word was flexibility. We heard lots and lots about that. And like we've already heard, you know, we don't always have to do things the same. If those things work, well, why not keep doing them? But why do things that are not very fruitful, and don't produce what we are hoping they produce? Well, we may as well use our energy and our time and our effort on trying something that will. And I also like this idea that we don't look at it, if it doesn't turn out quite how we wanted, well, then we shouldn't look at it as a failure, because we can absolutely be certain we will have learned something from it, even if it's not, you know, got the result that we were perhaps hoping. And I think, you know, the other thing that came up yesterday was perhaps with links with that. We can't, one size doesn't fit all. You know, our churches are different, the fellowships are different, we've got different different giftings. So because it works for one church, it doesn't necessarily work for us. So, you know, we've got to find our own way, I think, in this. Be open and find our own way. And then the other thing, the third thing really that struck me was when they were talking about taking church out into these various groups. I'm trying to think of the word he used, something groups. Anyway, like the cycle group or something like that, wasn't it? Yes. And I like the way that he, when whoever was welcoming the church on that Sunday morning, they included all those groups outside. You know, they recognised it, that they also were part of the church. But the thing really was this word intention, that they consciously decided to make a space in these events where they had a sharing time or a God spot or whatever you want to call it. You know, so they were upfront about that. I think they were, you know, few people were thinking, well, you know, how high do you put the bar? Perhaps it's better to do a step at a time. And Ken was saying, you know, put the bar high, be honest about it in the first place, say that's what we're doing it for, and if you need to drop it a bit, we'll drop it. But that really struck me, that they actually chose to do it that way, because that was what it was all about, really. And, I mean, I was thinking, I thought about this last night, but we were singing about the Great Commission, and I thought, well, after all, he's told us to do it, hasn't he? So surely it follows that if he's told us to do it, he's going to equip us to do it, if we're honest about searching, really. So that's that.
I think a lot of what we've discussed has already been brought out, but I just wanted to kind of bring out two things. I think the first one was kind of a bit of a revelation that a lot of what certainly I've personally been involved in different things that we've been trying to set up here has been about bringing people into the church. So it's been about getting people into the building to get comfortable with the building or to meet with us to realise that actually we have two arms and two legs and we're normal people, because that was, you know, the aim was to break down the barriers that perhaps prevent people coming into church. And I think that's absolutely right, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what really struck me was the almost the revelation that there are some people who are never going to set foot into a church, and that there are also people who won't come into church because they don't know how to come into church. In other words, they don't think church is for them. They need an invite to come into church. They're not just going to come through the door because of something we're doing within church. And so therefore we need to go out to them. And we also need to accept that what we're doing is we're bringing people into relationship with God, not bringing people into church. So the fact that there may be groups of people that we reach out to through events and things that we're doing on a regular basis, and we're having them this spiritual slot with them, and we're introducing them to God and helping them build their relationship with God, we shouldn't feel because they then don't come into church that we're failing. That's not the case at all. We're actually fulfilling the Great Commission. We're bringing people and discipling people. They just don't happen to set foot into this building. I think the second thing that really struck me was, you know, it's very easy to think, yeah, we're a small church, and we are a small church, and to think, well, I've got all of this stuff going on. How are we going to do yet something else? And so there are two things that came from that. The first one that I found quite liberating was he was talking about doing these things on a Sunday morning. Not every Sunday morning, but they were talking about doing it sort of once every sort of 4 weeks, where a, you know, you're reaching out to the community through an event. And that to me became much easier to think, actually, we're doing this as part of our Sunday worship. And we're not suggesting that actually it's the main services that you know, we on that Sunday we wouldn't hold a main service. We may not, but basically it's kind of, no, this is part of what we're doing. And the second thing was, again, to do, I think, with small churches, was that connecting and reaching out with other churches in the area and realizing where we have shared interests and shared passions, that it may well be as small churches the way to achieve these, because ideally you want, you know, I would think at least two people involved in setting up each new group, two or three, that you may not have two or three people that have that shared passion within a church of this size. But if you reached out to some of the other churches within the area, and particularly as I got to chat with other folks in the other churches that we were meeting with yesterday, to find actually they share interests and passions that you do. And actually, if you hook up with those individuals in the wider Christian community and say, actually, no, if this is about bringing people into relationship with God and not about bringing people into a building, then actually it doesn't matter. You know, I can pair up with somebody from another church. We can help lead people into relationship with God. And that is discipling people and bringing people into God. It's not about them coming into specifically this church. And that enables us to actually do things, even though we're quite small.
Thank you to everyone that shared. It's quite amazing, as I was listening to the people from the other two groups that I wasn't a part of yesterday, that the same things were coming up again and again, the same things that we discussed, Barry's group discussed, and Lynn's group discussed as well. It's reassuring to know that God's telling us all the same thing.